see both at the beginning of the Bible and at the end of the Bible, God created man for a very specific purpose.
Excuse me for a second. Is that correct?
Yes.
Fantastic. And that purpose was for him to rule and reign on this earth. As it says in Genesis 1:26, when God created man, he said, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth." And then again, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 1, John says that the Lord has made us into becoming kings and priests to his God and Father. This really is God's desire for us, to become these kings and priests, to have dominion. But there's a problem. There's an enemy. God's enemy, Satan, does not want man to have this kingdom. In the pre-Adamic age, Satan was actually the archangel, Lucifer. Before he fell, he had dominion over this earth. But today, since he was originally given the dominion over the earth, and now God wants man to rule and reign here, Satan does not want this. That's why there's this spiritual struggle, the spiritual battle. In 1 John 5:19, it says that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So God wants us to have this kingdom, but yet this whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, there's going to be a struggle here. It's not going to come easy. And so what had happened? So after God created man, the Satan came as the serpent and deceived man. And so man fell. How can an unrighteous man then become a king to have dominion over this kingdom if he's unrighteous? Remember, God's kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So how can a man be fit to reign if he is unrighteous? Well, God provided a solution. Remember, he called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his kingdom. This was the children of Israel in Old Covenant times. And even with them in Exodus chapter 19, he wanted them to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You know, God even did so many marvelous works. He saved them out of Egypt under bondage. But yet they still rejected God as their king. This is a picture of many today. The Lord saves us from this world, from this present evil age. But yet do we still reject God as our king? And we see that the first coming of Christ really was a way for him to redeem man to be part of his kingdom. In Zechariah 9, the Lord says that your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. And then in John chapter 3, 5 and 6, it says, "Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So because if we are born of the flesh, we are the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is a spirit. And if this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, the only way that we can be a part of it is unless we are put into Christ in such a way. And the Lord came to his own again, right? After the Israelites rejected him as their king, he even came again as in human flesh. But they rejected him again, even crucifying him, killing him on the cross. And so then the gospel came to us, the Gentiles. Not just that we would be saved, but that we would be saved for a purpose. As it says in Matthew chapter 16, that the Lord will build his church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And he says that I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This is really God's desire to have this kingdom. So if the Lord is building up his church, the kingdom, then who is the king? As it says in Colossians, the Lord is head over the body, his church. So today, as Christians, many of us know the Lord as our Savior, our Comforter, our peace, our salvation. But do we see him as our king? Do we allow him to rule over us as our king? Do we hear him? And when we hear him, do we obey his voice? Today, in the church, We each have our own ways. No one listens to the king, just as the children of Israel rejected God as their king. You know, as God called them out and rescued them out of the slavery, out of bondage, out of the fiery furnace in Egypt, he performed many signs and wonders, even parted the Red Sea for them, right? They were eyewitnesses to God's majesty, even destroyed Pharaoh and the whole army. They were completely released, but yet they still rejected God as their king. And they asked for a man to rule over them, as it says in 1 Samuel 8, after the people came to Samuel and said, "We want a king to rule over us." Well, this is how the Lord responded to Samuel: "For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Oh, Lord. So what results from rejecting the Lord as our king? Well, we see that he allows his people, his church, to be taken into captivity and division in Babylon. And this will happen to us today if we continue to reject God as our king. In 2 Chronicles 36, it talks about how the Lord sent warnings to his people, but they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, scoffed at his prophets. And so what was the Lord supposed to do? But he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans. The Lord allowed his people to be taken into captivity. So the question is, what is this Babylon? Well, it's a place where God's people are taken into captivity and divided. And today we see that the churches really are in the same situation. We've rejected God as our king. We've left the Lord as our first love. Many have appointed men to rule over them. Instead of following the Lord, we follow pastors, cardinals, bishops, the Pope, instead of Christ as our King, as head over all things to the church. We've also haven't followed his commands. We've tainted his kingdom, his church, with mixture with the world. In some countries, there's the state church, the state institution. The church also tolerates so much immorality that the Lord hates. The Lord wants to reign with the scepter of righteousness and hates lawlessness. Why is it that his church tolerates so much lawlessness today? Oh, Lord Jesus. And also, where in the Bible does it say to celebrate pagan holidays in the church? We're coming up at the end of the year. Many churches put on giant gatherings. But where does the Lord say to do this in his word? Or is this a work of man? Oh, Lord Jesus. And today, God wants to make us. He wants to make us to be kings in his coming kingdom age, right? As we read, he desires us to be kings and priests to rule and reign. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" This is really God's desire to make us into these kings and priests. But how are we going to be trained to be a king if we first don't learn today to follow the Lord as our king? And also, this matter of his kingdom being stuck in bondage in Babylon. Well, in Revelation chapter 18, maybe we can read these verses. Babylon really is a symbol of division, right? If Christ said that we as his church should be one, just as the Father and him are one, well, then how can a kingdom divided against itself stand, right? How can his church be his testimony if there's so much division? This really is of the enemy. So let's read Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is really God's call to us today. For his people that are stuck in bondage, in captivity, in these different divisions, to come out of her, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. We are to make it to the goal, to become a king and priest in God's coming kingdom. We cannot make it being stuck in this captivity. But may we learn to follow the Lord as our king, to obey his voice, to come out of her, my people. And so the question is to us, when we hear the king's voice today in his word, how will we respond? Will we learn to respond in obedience to him? Or will we respond like the Israelites did, as it's recorded in Hebrews chapter 3? Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So may we learn to hear the Lord's call today, to come out of any bondage, any captivity, any division, and learn to seek the Lord and listen to him and obey him as our King. Amen.
What Jake was sharing was at the very beginning regarding God's original intention. You know, there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels." Meaning, this earth today is definitely not going to be under the subjection or not ruled by Satan. I think this was a point that I want to bring out from the beginning when Jake was speaking. You know, in the pre-Adamic age, before the actual creation of man on this earth, when God created the heavens and the earth, you have to realize when God created the heavens and the earth, he created a beautiful earth. And at that point in time, it was the angels that were ruling over the earth. This is Lucifer, who was the archangel that was taking care. He was taking care of the earth at the time. But the problem with Lucifer was he wanted to be equal to God. He wanted to do something independent of God. And as a result, Lucifer fell. And he became Satan himself. And he, along with the angels, a third of the angels, they all fell and they rebelled against God. Now God could have easily just, you know, say one word and Satan would have been completely gone, destroyed. But that was not God's intention. God's intention was to have man rule and reign. But before man would rule and reign, man would take this kingdom back from Satan. This is God's intention. This is why today we were created. In Genesis chapter 1, 26, as Jake was reading, it says, he created us in his image after his likeness so that we would have the expression of God. But not only that, but to exercise his dominion on this earth. Meaning it was God's intention from the beginning that we, as man, we would rule over this earth. This was God's intention for his kingdom. But as Jake brought up, man fell. And when man listened to the lies of the enemy, he was deceived by Satan, the serpent. Man also became independent of God. I think this is something that we need to see in a clear way, is there is this battle that is going on in this universe. God's desire to have his kingdom on this earth, but yet this whole earth lies in the hands of the wicked one. Do we see this battle that is going on? Do we have this realization that God wants to bring his kingdom here, but at the same time, Satan wants to hold on and prevent man from taking over this earth? To prevent God from taking over this earth. He doesn't want God to take over this earth. Right? So praise him. The Lord from age to age is trying to and is in the process of restoring his kingdom on this earth. He did try first with the nation of Israel, but they rejected God as their king. And eventually God had to give them up. The nation of Israel was given up. And it was at that time they were taken into captivity in Babylon. And God had to allow the Gentiles, the nations, rule over this earth. But God is not going to be deterred. God will make, he will accomplish his will. And this is why he himself became the man Jesus Christ. And the one point that I wanted to highlight here that Jake was bringing out was this. Many of us today, I believe, we all want to be saved. We realize that Jesus Christ is our Savior, right? And we know him as our Savior. We know him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. We know him as our Comforter. We know him as our Teacher. We may know him as our brother, as our friend. We know the Lord in so many areas. But the real question is, do we know the Lord today as the King? Remember, when Jesus came, he came, what did he preach? What did he preach? He preached the gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And his prayer, the Lord's prayer, it was even, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the Lord's purpose was to bring the Father's kingdom. And the verses that he, like Jake also had us read, was the Lord said in Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you what? The keys to the kingdom of heaven. Meaning the church today is not just the family of God or the house of God or even the bride of Christ, but the church today is the kingdom of God. Do we have the view to see that today, the church today is God's kingdom? This is what the Lord preached when he came to this earth. And with any kingdom, there has to be a king. And who is our king today? The pastor? Jake, who just gave the message? Or is it, as he said, is it an archbishop? Is it the Pope? Who is our king today? Do we recognize that there is a king in the church? This may be a new concept for some of us. We are raised in knowing the Lord as our Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. But after our sins are taken away, after we are saved from God's eternal judgment, is that all there is to it? No. Salvation, when Christ came the first time, salvation was necessary in order to have his kingdom. Because man is fallen. We have sinned. And this is why today, if we have not yet received Christ, we need to be redeemed. Our sins need to be forgiven. And this is why he came to save us. Zechariah 9:9 didn't just say he saved, he was a king, but he was also salvation. He's our Savior King. But after we are saved, then what? Yes, God is wonderful. We can enjoy him so many aspects. But don't forget what the Lord wants to do. God wants the Lord to bring his kingdom down to this earth. So that means today we have to recognize the Lord as our King. And that the church today is not just the family of God, not just the bride of Christ, but the church today is God's kingdom. Do we have such a consciousness and a realization of this? And so in a kingdom, there's a constitution. There are laws, right? In America today, are we a country without laws? Are we a country without laws? Of course not. We have the U.S. Constitution and we have many laws to give us law and order according to the righteousness of man. Now, what would make, well, I mean, then if you think about the church today as God's kingdom also must have the Constitution, must have God's commandments. If he is the king, and with his kingdom, there also needs to be his commandments. Now think about it. When you look back in history, if Virgil, you disobeyed the king, what would happen to you? Off with your head. Exactly. That was how much the king had authority. If you disobeyed him, off with your head. But we have a wonderful, special king. Today, he's not going to go off with your head. But don't think that God is just love. God also is righteousness. That's why in Romans 14, it speaks about the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness. Righteousness. Peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So that means today in the church, we should have the consciousness that Christ is our king. Do we see Christ as our king? Do we pray to him in such a way? And do we then hear his voice? Do we hear the commands of the king? Meaning, do we read his word? Do we know his commandments? But not just to see, not just to hear, but then do we obey? Do we obey Christ as our king today? I think this is one of the biggest problems we have today as Christians is we don't recognize Christ as our king. And because we don't see him as our king, we think we can get away with a lot of things. Today, I'm saved, praise the Lord. I'm not going to the eternal lake of fire, but I want to do my own thing. I want to live my life my own way. I want to have my own ministry. I want to have my own church of choice. I want to do whatever I think is right in the name of the church. Is this what God wants? Is this what God wants? And this is what happened to the nation of Israel. God did so much to save them, but then when it came time, they asked Samuel, set over us a man as our king, as the nations. And today, this is the same problem that we have. Today we want to set men as the ruler in the church. Why not God? Why isn't he the rightful king today in the church? And I think this is a big question we need to ask ourselves. Do we see Christ as the king today? Because remember, the second coming of Christ, God wants to bring in his kingdom. Who's going to be the king at that point? Christ. And if today we don't live under the reigning of Christ, do you think you will be qualified to be kings and priests in the coming kingdom age? Most definitely not. And in the same way, God, when God's people with the nation of Israel rejected him, they were carried away into Babylon, into captivity. Today, don't think we are special and we're better than they are. We are no different. And because we follow based on our choice and not letting God reign within us, that means we left the Lord as our best love. It's not that we don't love Jesus Christ, but he's not our best love and we don't see him as our king. In Revelation, the Lord is quite clear. I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. What is the Nicolaitans? It is this clergy-laity system. Clergy, the people who are supposedly the ones who speak the word of God, and the laity, the laymen, the rest. It's a system. God hates that. But why is it that we love it? Sunday after Sunday, we faithfully go in to listen to a sermon. This is the clergy-laity system. God said twice in Revelation, he hates it. He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But yet, for some reason, we love it. And not only that, in Babylon, remember, not only were the people taken into captivity, they were also divided. They were in the dispersion. Today, does it ever bother you that the churches are divided? Does it even bother you? You feel good about it, unfortunately. Most people feel good about having division in the churches. They say, well, this is my preference. It's more convenient for me. This is the condition of the churches today. This is called Babylon. Is this really how God's kingdom should be? Divided. Did not the Lord say in Matthew 13, a kingdom divided cannot stand? So we have to ask ourselves this. How do we see Christ? Do we see him as our coming king? And then with the church, do we see the church today as his kingdom? And if we don't, and we want to do our own things, eventually, God gave up the nation of Israel to the captivity of Babylon, God will also do the same with the church. And we will all be in captivity and in division, and this is the condition of Babylon today. Right? This is why in Revelation 18, verse 4, at the very end there, just before the coming judgment of Babylon, don't think that Babylon will not be judged. Tomorrow we'll speak a lot more about how Babylon will be judged. But don't think that God will tolerate the Christians to be in the condition we are today at his second coming. God is not only a God of love, but God is a God of righteousness. And in his kingdom, there must be the scepter of his righteousness, according to Hebrews. And if we are not willing to learn and to know the Lord in such a way, then we will face God's judgment before the judgment seat of Christ. And so this is what we need to begin to have our minds renewed. Right? God wants to give his kingdom to man. But if we are not willing to submit ourselves to man, how can we then defeat the enemy? How? Sorry? God. Right. And how can then we retake the earth? How can we take God's kingdom to this earth if Satan is having his reign over us in how we go about in our Christian walk and in the church life? Right. So may the Lord begin to open our eyes to see what is it when we have the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ is not that we go to heaven. The second coming of Christ is that his kingdom would come on this earth, that God once and for all will take Satan out of this world and cast him into the abyss. And the question is, are we going to be one with Christ to do that, or will we also be judged? Not with the eternal lake of fire, but God's judgment over his people. All right, so may the Lord really wake us up. May the Lord really open our eyes to see that he is really our king today, and he will come as the king for this earth. And the church today is not just this social club. It's not just an organization. It's not just a family. But the church today is also the heavenly kingdom of God. And in this kind of a kingdom, we then need to know his commandments, and we need to learn to obey him. And as Revelation 18:4 says, come out of her, my people. Amen.
This verse is very helpful for us to really see what the church is. Beginning in verse 21 to the end. Let's read slowly, not too fast. Right? But you have come to Mount Zion.
22.
And verse 22, right? Chapter 12, beginning in verse 22.
But you have come to Mount Zion,
Verses, it says, we have come to Mount Zion.
Amen.
The church today is Mount Zion. And Mount Zion in the whole scriptures means it's the city of the living God, of the great King. Mount Zion is not just any place, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. It's a city. It's where God reigns, where his throne is. This is Mount Zion. It did not say here that you will go in the future. Right? It says you have come. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's not earthly. It doesn't mean that we are in heaven today. But it does mean that a church today must be heavenly in nature. It's not earthly. Heavenly. The heavenly Jerusalem. And it says here, also to an innumerable company of angels. It's not just us here. Of course, you don't see them, right? You don't see them. But it says they are there. Because the angels in the book of Hebrews are actually ministering to our needs. They are servants to the heirs of salvation. That means they are servants. You may not see them, but it says they are there. You have come to an innumerable company of angels. And then it says in verse 23, to the festal gathering. It says general assembly here. But if you look into the Greek, it says festal gathering. Because of the Lord. So three times a year in the Old Testament days, they all must come to Jerusalem to keep the feasts. The feast of the Passover, the unleavened bread, the Feast of the First Fruits, the Pentecost, and then the Feast of the Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and also the Feasts of the Tabernacle. These are the seven feasts prescribed by God in His Word, that when we come together, especially at the Lord's table, this is to keep the feasts. So it's called a festal gathering. And then it says the church of the firstborn. Now this is very important. And firstborn here means the plural. It's not a singular firstborn. Now how many firstborn do you think God has?
Just one.
How many does he have?
Just one.
Just one, but how come it says you're plural, the church of the firstborn? Plural. This word in Greek here is not singular, but plural. And then a few verses before, it says here, don't be a fornicator or a profane person. Verse 6. 16, I'm sorry. Like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. That means it's very possible for us as Christians to sell our birthright. Right? And the birthright, Esau was the firstborn, right? Jacob is the secondborn. But Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. And he lost it. And it says here, verse 17, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, and this blessing is the kingdom, he was rejected. And it's not talking about salvation, it's talking about the blessing of the kingdom. Because the firstborn, the blessing of the birthright, number one, is the kingship. And number two, it is the double portion of the inheritance. So, if we sell our birthright for, I don't know, maybe we love this world, or we care just for ourselves, for our need. You know, Esau was hungry, right? And he didn't care for anything. He just cared for his stomach. And at that time, and you know, Jacob was cooking the bean soup, right? Which is very cheap, actually very cheap. For a bowl of soup, Esau sold his birthright. You know, many times today in this world, just for our gain, for what I like to do, for love of the world, or the lust of the flesh, or walking by the flesh, right? Remember so many times in the book of Epistle to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians, right? Galatians, it says, those who are according to the flesh, walking according to the flesh, and that referring to wonders, they will not what?
Inherit.
Salvation?
No.
No. It's not talking about salvation, but about the kingdom.
Right.
And the kingdom here is referring to the second coming of Christ, bringing his millennial kingdom to this earth as a reward for the faithful believers. But if you sold your birthright, don't think you will be co-kings with Christ. That is why in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3, the Lord talking to the churches was calling the overcomers. He who overcomes, I will make him to rule over the nations.
Amen.
Or to Laodicea, that the Lord says, he who overcomes, I will make him to sit with me on my throne. And this is definitely referring to the kingdom age. Not in the eternity, because after the kingdom age, definitely, then the new heaven and new earth will come. Then all the Christians then will be co-kings with Christ. No doubt about that. But in the coming millennial kingdom, no. The millennial kingdom is a time of reward for the faithful ones, and a time of punishment for the unfaithful believers. because if I'm not faithful today, I love the world, I want to do my own things, and I sold my birthright, right? And I disobey the Lord, and I do so many things that are offensive to him and refuse to repent, then how can the Lord really perfect me? When is he going to do that? If I'm not willing today, by grace and by his life, to obey the Lord, then when is he going to do that? Remember, Paul says we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Don't think there's no judgment for us believers. Right? Paul included himself. And Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we seek to live a life that is well-pleasing. As a Christian, not as an unbeliever. The unbelievers, they don't care. They don't believe in God anyway. Right? But Paul was talking about the status of the believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Right? So, and Paul says, for we all have to appear before the judgment seat. And in Romans 14, right, verse 10, he says, we all have to give an account to the Lord. How we live today as Christians with our bodies. You have to give an account. Don't say you can do anything you like today as a Christian and get away with it. No, you cannot. I cannot. Even Paul cannot. That is why Paul says, we all need to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. Today, you don't care. But one day when the Lord comes back and we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, you'll have no place to hide. Because you have to give an account. Right? So, this is very important today, is that we will do the will of the Father. Right? The Lord warned us in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who calls Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But those who will do or who does but who do the will of my Father in heaven. It's nothing. It has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is not by doing the will of God. Salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works. It's a gift of God. It's by grace you're saved. Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 2 says that very clearly. Lest anyone should boast. But to be qualified to rule and reign with Christ in a millennium, it's not by his mercy, but it is by doing the will of the Father today. There is the condition to rule with Christ in the millennial kingdom. It's not just by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No. It is by doing the will of his Father in heaven. That's why the Lord warns, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. And then the Lord continued to say, and many will say in that day means the day of his coming. Let's read Matthew chapter 7. I think it's important in verse 21, let us read. Verse 21 and verse 22. Let us read together.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
And then he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, now, you know a lot of things, but you don't do them.
Right.
You know, he's not talking about unbelievers, okay? The unbelievers don't care about the Word of God.
Yeah.
But we do, right? And you're reading the Bible every day, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And listening to messages and then listening to preaching every week. But the question is, do you do what you have heard? Right? Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Very solid. And this rock is the living Word of God. If you listen to His Word and you live and do according to His Word, then it's like building a house upon a rock. Because you'll be tested. Okay? Rain will come, flood will come, wind will beat upon that house. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, and this is very crucial. Don't think you're saved, you're the Lord, Lord. Even you are prophesying in His name. Even cast out demons in His name. The Lord didn't say that. No, you didn't. Right? And done many wonders in your name. You can be a preacher. You can do a lot of things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, in secret, when nobody sees, and you live a different life. It's not what you do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is how you live according to His Word. It is your life. Right? And so, it says here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of the heavens. Meaning to say, the kingdom, when it comes to this earth, the millennial kingdom. But those who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, many times the Lord told you stop, but you didn't do it. You still go ahead, right? Many times the Lord, through the Spirit, tells you don't do that, don't go there, don't say this, right? But you still went ahead and did those things. How about that? Right? As in, you do a lot of things in the name of the Lord. As a work, Him, He wants to see your life. Right? Whether you live a life according to His Word. This is very important. So, the kingdom today is very, very practical. Very practical. Like what we sang in our song. Let Him rule and reign in your heart. Right? What are you thinking in your mind when the Lord tells you stop? But you still dream on. Right? You still think about the things that are going on in your mind, and what are you desiring in your heart? Right? And there's so many things there. You're talking about a constitution. Well, this is the constitution. This is the constitution. Right. So, may the Lord really wake us up and stir up our spirit today. Don't think that we are safe and there's no more problem with us. No. The more so after we are saved, we need to live a life that is well-pleasing to the Father. We need to learn to experience the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, because our humanity is fallen, very fallen. Believe me, we are very stubborn. Don't think you're not stubborn. Don't think you're a very obedient Christian. No. No. We are like the nation of Israel, stiff-necked. Right? And so we need to be saved much more by his life. And in the book of Hebrews, it says we need to be saved to the uttermost. Yeah. Right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says we need to be sanctified wholly, completely, our spirit, our soul, and our bodies. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? What we do in our daily living. Right? Only the Lord knows, because he is the one who really searches the heart and the hidden part of your being. So, hey, the kingdom is Christ as the Spirit who now lives within our heart to rule and reign, to train you. Even Paul is afraid. Right? Even let's take a look at first 2 Peter, and then I'll stop here, right? Let's take a look at Peter. Let me just read it to you, and you just follow it. Beginning in verse 3, I'll read. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which we have been given, or by which have been given to us, exceedingly great and precious promises. My, so many things have been given to us, right? That through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Have you escaped completely? Then, he says, because so much has been given to us, okay, what do you do with it? But also for this very reason, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtues. This word virtues means so many things. Right? You know what virtue is. Into virtue, knowledge. Into knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly love. Kindness. And to brotherly love, love, the agape, which is the love of God. New King James says kindness, love, love. Nobody knows what it means. But it's the love of God, because God is love. Right? At least we need a brotherly love, the Philadelphia. And here, from the brotherly love, you go even higher to the love of God himself. Like in 1 John, God is love. Mm-hmm. It is the divine love. Our love is corrupted, changeable. But God's love is not. Mm-hmm. Right? And then he says, for if these things are yours and abound, verse 8, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. My goodness, can you believe that Christians can be blind? And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That means, hey, you forget. And the old sins return to you. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Oh my goodness, you have to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what Peter just mentioned, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the eternal or everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? So, if you like these things, you're in trouble. Don't think you're safe and it's okay. Right? The Lord has given you all the wonderful elements and supply to you, but then you need to be diligent to add one thing after another. That means this life has to really grow and mature within you. And then to be diligent, even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Why do you have to do that? Because, hey, there is a possibility you might not inherit the kingdom. Because if you like these things, you will not have an abundance entrance into the kingdom, okay? And you'll be stumbling often, many times in your daily living. You will stumble. But, hey, here is someone like Peter, who stumbled so many times before, right? But right now, at his old age, he was able to say, you will not stumble. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Why? He says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly, richly, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. So, do you have an abundant entrance? Or barely make it? How about that? So, this is why Peter says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, that means as long as I'm still alive, to stir you up by reminding you. My goodness. Verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Right? For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. There are many fables, fairy tales, traditional teachings. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Right? So, I'm not going to read further. You read it yourself. But it shows us that, hey, don't think that you're safe, you have no more problem, you'll get into the kingdom. You'll just walk and slide into the kingdom. Peter warned us that's not going to be the case. You don't just surf into the kingdom with the wave of the sea. Not as simple as that. So I hope that we will all learn to be diligent.
Amen.
that our spiritual life will grow and mature. Add to your faith virtues, to your virtues, knowledge, right? And then you add to your knowledge, right, your self-control, self-control, perseverance, and perseverance, godliness, godliness, brotherly love. And that's not even enough, then you even have to go higher, the divine love of God. Amen. How about that? Be diligent.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.